And this thought came to me, charged. You need to be charged, recharged. And the first thing that came to my mind was my cell phone. Now, let me, you know, I want you to, we're going to ask you some questions, and we're going to, you know, feel free to, you can participate this morning. But I've noticed in these last days that there are many Christians who feel drained physically, spiritually, mentally, and financially. Isn't that true? This is the Christians. Forget the world. I mean, no, forget them, but I'm talking about the Christians this morning. That there's a lot of Christians that feel drained physically, spiritually, mentally, and financially. And it's sort of like when your battery is losing its charge on your cell phone. When I'm talking on my cell phone and I start hearing this beeping sound, what's it telling me? Your battery's getting low. How many times have I been talking to Melody Joy McKee and all of a sudden she'd go, Mom, I hear a beeping, but I knew it's gone. She's gone. I can't tell you how many times. I'm like, girl, you need to charge up that phone and keep it charged. And so I start hearing the beeping on my phone, and I know that my phone is getting ready to die. I know it's getting ready to lose its charge. And I believe that that's happening to Christians today. They're losing their charge. They're losing their power. You can almost hear some Christians beeping. You can. There's times I can hear me beeping, and I know I'm losing my charge. Why? Why do we lose our charge? You know, okay, flip open your phone. Like I got a picture right there of my grandbaby, and I got Pastor on there, okay? And, okay, it's all lit up and everything, and if I close it, it's lit up. I got the time on there, the date. Oh, there was the date right there. And I've got everything I need right there. It is, and it's good, you know. But that's only because I plugged it up last night into my little cell phone charger thing that hooks into the power, right? What if I'd have just went and laid this phone on top of my TV? Would it have gotten charged? What if I'd have laid it, oh, I don't know, maybe went and took it and gave it to one of my friends and said, here, hold this until it gets charged. Would that have worked? No. We're plugged into the wrong things a lot of times. Or we're charged up all right, but we're not charged up on Jesus. Oh, that's good. That's a good word right there. We're charged up on the wrong things. We're plugged into our jobs like crazy. And Lord knows there's nothing wrong with having a job. But if that job has you, that's wrong. If you can't walk away from that job and if it's consumed your life, then you're plugged into it too much. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with having a good job. We thank God for that. Too many people, too many Christians are plugged into their TV. And they are charged up on the garbage. I used to be charged up on soap operas. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would worry about these people when I would go to bed. Now, this was a long time ago. I got delivered a long time ago. But I remember, and hey, I wasn't so bad because I remember hearing about one woman who put in a prayer request for one of the soap opera people. Yeah. I never did that. It felt like it, but I didn't. And you would watch these shows, and then you would go to bed, and you think, how's she going to make it through that? I just don't know how she's going to make it through. I was charged up on junk. And God exposed that to me. When I started pressing in toward God, and I said, I need some answers. God, I need more of you. One of the first things he revealed to me was get off of that. Get off of those soap operas. And a lot of times people will say, well, I'm just watching it for the fashions. Bah, humbug, that's a bunch of junk. It's you're not watching it for fashions. You're wanting to see who's going to jump in bed with who. And, hey, if you can sit and watch somebody jump in bed with each other and you know that they're not man and wife, I don't know. We need to be careful about that stuff. You can get so plugged into TV that is what you're charged up with. So that when a Christian, when a sinner comes along and says, hey, how do I find Jesus? You know exactly how to tell them all the stuff that's on television. You know how to tell them about all the stuff, all the movies you watch and all that kind of stuff. And don't get me wrong, I watch TV. But let's not get so plugged into it that we have lost our charge for Jesus. That's all I'm saying about that. We're so plugged into entertainment. Entertain me, entertain me, entertain me, you know? And we're so plugged into, you know, we got to go here, we got to go there, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to, you know, always go, 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 go. And there's nothing wrong with vacations or anything like that. I'm going on one myself. I'm just talking about all this little stuff, running, 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 just, you know, calm down and get into the Word and just get plugged into Jesus for a little bit. A lot of people are plugged into their friendships. I've got to be my friends. Thank God for friends. I love friends. I love them. But don't ever put them over top of Jesus. Don't ever put them, you know. I'll never forget my grandson David telling one of his friends that was so into Star Wars. And this kid was so into Star Wars. And David, who is like a little preacher, he goes, "Do you love it more than Jesus?" And the little kid is only just little. And I think that's when he was in secular school. And the kid goes, "Yeah." And David's like, "Oh, you know," that child was so plugged into Star Wars that I don't even know if he knew who Jesus was, to be honest with you. But that's how some Christians are. And I'm going to be careful and keep it short right here, but you can even get too plugged into sports. Anything that you're too plugged into for too long, that's what you're going to be charged up on. And there's nothing wrong with these things. Not one of these things I've mentioned, there's anything wrong with them. But just don't get so charged up on that you're drained spiritually, where it really counts at. But if we're not plugged into the power of Almighty God, we're going to lose our charge. You're going to lose it. Let me ask you this. You got your cell phone in your hand? What happens when it's dead? Now, let's just pretend you've got your cell phone. It's dead as a doornail. There's nothing showing on it. It's dead. Can you talk on it? Can you look at the pictures? Can you pull up any pictures? Can you receive any messages? What's it good for? Absolutely nothing. I'm not going to tell you that you're not good for nothing. Don't you go telling the pastor I said that either. But what I am saying is you're not much use to the kingdom of God. You're just somebody to look at and somebody that could come in here and warm a seat and thank God for you. But I got to tell you, if you're not charged up for Jesus Christ, you're not advancing the kingdom of God. You're not charged up. What help are you in the kingdom of God? I mean, if this phone is not charged up, what can I do with it? Use it for a doorstop? It's worth nothing if it's not useful to me. I had a friend that, now I don't recommend this to anybody else, but he was a big in sales, and he was going down the road, and I guess he just didn't have a good connection or something. I don't know what happened, but he's going down the road, and he's talking, and he's right in the middle of a big sales deal, and his phone lost its connection, and he took it and threw it out the window. Literally threw it out the window. His wife had a little something to say about that. But he pitched their thing down into the woods. And why? Because it was of no use to him anymore. It didn't do the job. Oh, some of you are looking at me like, I'm just telling you, when we say we're Christians and we say we love Jesus, but if we're not charged up, if we don't have anything to give anybody, what use are we to the kingdom of Jesus Christ? If you don't have anything to give anybody because you have been so busy, and me too, with this and that and this and that, but when it comes to spiritual things, we are dead. We are drained. We are not charged up anymore. What good are you at that point to the kingdom of God? Now, that's not saying that God don't love you, because he does. But what he's saying to you at that point is, come away. Come to me. Let me pour into you. Let me charge you up again. Why do we need to be recharged? Why? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God your Father in heaven." Notice that, and I noticed this, it says that men may see your good works. You know, I can see when my phone is charged up. I can just do it in a glimpse. It's charged up. It's ready to go. I can make a phone call right now. Hopefully I don't receive a phone call right now. And I can make, because it's charged up, I can see the light. There's a light on there. It's the same thing with you. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God your Father, which is in heaven. We need to be recharged. Because these are truly the last days. We need to let our light so shine before others that they can be one to Jesus Christ, because we've been talking about the fact that people are looking right now. People are searching. They want to know more about this great one called God, about Jesus. You know, for them to do the things that they're doing right now tells me people are looking. You've got the answer. I've got the answer. When I was with that little woman named May, she had been to church pretty much all of her life, but I told her things she had never heard before. And it was right out of the Bible. She had never heard these things. And this woman is in her 80s. And she never knew it before. And she just kept saying, Sandra, and I'm not saying this to glorify me, please. I'm just telling you. She would just say something to the effect of, oh, Sandra, I didn't know this. Sandra, you're like a breath of fresh air. I barely told her anything. I barely, at that point, hadn't even told her anything. But she was like pulling it out of me, pulling it out of me, pulling it out of me. And that's what people would do. They need what you've got. You've got the light. We need to be recharged so that we can encourage each other. You might be supercharged. You, yourself, you might be supercharged. But another Christian may be down and discouraged. But if you are charged up, it's going to affect people around you. I heard a story about, you all know about Charles Kahn. He just died. He was the general overseer. He's 80-something years old. And he just passed away not too long ago. But he had a son. He had 12 children. And one of them wrote a book and said that when they were little, that one of them, I think it was Stephen Kahn, went downstairs. And I'm almost sure it was the freezer was down there. And he went down there and he touched something on this freezer. And it must have had a little short to it. And he touched it and it, boom, you know, bit him. You know what I'm saying? He got a little jump from a jolt. So what did he do? He went and got his brothers and sisters. Now, he noticed, and he got them to, he said, just touch that thing. And they touch it. Well, then they found out that if they would have their shoes on, that it wouldn't affect them. So what they finally ended up doing was they had this line of kids. Remember, there was 12 of them. They had the line of kids, and 11 of them had on shoes, but they didn't tell the last one. So the one reached out and grabbed the freezer, and it went boom, 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 boom. Because the last one got it. He got charged. And that's what happens with you when you are supercharged, when you're charged up and you're ready to go, and you've been reading the word and you've been praying and you've been seeking God and worshiping God. You just get around Christians, you can just almost shake their hand, and they're just like, woo, you know, wow. I've seen people hug each other's necks, and just the power of God that was all over them would just, other people would almost be dancing away from them because they could sense the anointing and the power of Almighty God on that Christian. And it may not even be a physical thing where you just, somebody just come up to you and say, hey, how's it going? You know, and they, or you may say, how's it going? And they may say, I've had a rough week this week. You know what? I did too. But you know, let me just share with you what the Lord showed me. Let me just share with you what God has shown me in his word. And then you just start telling this other Christian, oh, God is good. Oh my goodness, he's good. Let me just tell you what he's done. And before you know it, this other Christian, all of a sudden they're starting to light up. They're starting to get charged up. Why? Because of you. Because you got charged up. It was like that with my husband's grandmother. Her name was Lillian. Everybody called her Lillian, though. And this woman was so charged up with the power of God. She was such a prayer warrior. And she would memorize whole books of the Bible. She would memorize whole books. And when you were just in her presence, you would get under conviction. If there was anything wrong in your life, if you'd done anything wrong, just being in this woman's presence, you would just almost come under conviction. And then there was other times when you were in her presence and you just wanted to do better. You just wanted to live a better life when you were in her presence. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Just being charged up. That when anybody comes around you, sinner or saint, they're going to see a difference. They're going to feel a difference. They just want to be different. You could be the supercharged one, the one that's supercharged and helps somebody else's faith. It's sort of like jumping a car battery. You know, after around you for a while, they feel charged up. You know, when you jump a car battery, you know, when you first start it, it goes, wow, 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 you know. And then you put those things on there and somebody cranks it up and it goes, wah, 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 you know. And that's because they got charged up. So how can you get your charge back? Let's just say somebody came in here this morning and you've lost your charge. What can you do to get it back? It's really not that hard. It's really not. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer. Start praying. Pray. Well, I don't, Mr. Hamby, I'm not a big fancy prayer. You don't have to be. Pray from your heart. Just start praying. And Tommy touched on it this morning. Thank him. Oh, I've been doing some more of that this week. I've just been thanking him. I've had some situations come against me this week. And you know what? I just said, well, thank you, God, because I didn't want to do that anyway. So thank you anyhow. So thank you, Lord. And I just go down the road. I say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for that. Thank you. I thank you, God, that I was born in America. Oh, thank God. I'm a patriot at heart. I tell you what, I've traveled overseas, and when I come back, there's something about that big old flag flapping in the breeze. It just does something to me. I'm not kidding you. Thank you, God, I'm an American. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God, for letting me be born to Joe and Ethel Baines, who raised me up in a Pentecostal. Thank God that I was born and raised in a Pentecostal church. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving my soul at a young age. Thank you for filling me up with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for my home, my children, my husband. Thank him. Just start thanking him. Thank him for your boss. Oh, you don't know my boss. Oh, you wouldn't even say that, Sister Hamby, if you knew my boss. Thank him anyhow. In all things, thank him. I'm telling you, you'll start seeing a change when you start thanking him anyhow. Well, you want to see some changes take place on your job site or at home or whatever? You got a sorry husband or wife? Let me tell you something. Start thanking God for that person. Oh, you don't know what I live with. You don't know how they treat. The Bible didn't say thank God on the good days. He said thank him in everything. I challenge you. I'm giving you some homework this week. You got somebody in your home or on your job that's literally driving you right up the wall. Start thanking God for them. Oh, my. I because I believe that when you do that, what you're doing, you're turning it over to God. You didn't do such a good job with it. So why don't you turn it over to God? God, this boss of mine is literally driving me up a wall. This guy is just, anyway, God, I just thank you, God, for this man. Now, for some reason, you've put him in my path, and I don't know why you did that. But God, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for this boss. Now, I believe something's going to start happening, because at that point, you had just taken it out of your hands, and you have put it in God's hands, and I'm telling you what, I believe you're going to start seeing some, you can almost hear the walls coming down. What is that sound I hear? Oh, yeah, that sounds like Jericho falling down. That sounds like, you know, that boss losing that sorry attitude. That sounds like that husband or wife of mine or that teenager, that lippy teen, none of you, none of present company excluded. But, you know, oh, my goodness, I was in the store the other day. I am so not kidding you. I don't know if I shared this or not, but I was in Dollar Store, one of my favorite places. And I was in the Dollar Store, and I was, and this girl behind me, she goes, oh, I just hate her. Oh, Mike, I just hate her so much. Oh. And I'm just like, ugh. And the woman cashing out everybody, she looks at me like, ugh. And then she goes, she's such a boop. And then she goes, I just hate her. Oh, I just hate her so much. And finally, when I left, I just kind of left the store and I just kind of looked around like, oh. And it was a little girl, just a little, like, oh, maybe 17 years old, and looked like she's still wet behind the ears. And she said, oh, I just hate her. Oh, you know, I'm like, such a terrible word for such a little girl to be using like that. Anyway, so I challenge you, start being thankful for even the kids in your house, for your teenagers, for your car. Quit cursing your car. Quit cursing your neighbors. Quit cursing your home. You say, you know, we ought to be thankful for our homes. Are they perfect? No. I've got a cabinet. By the way, Floyd, where's Floyd at? Is he here today? Yeah, there you are, Floyd. I need to talk to you later. I got this cabinet that just fell off and hit me on my foot. And I'm like, okay, where'd that come from? And so there's some things about it I don't like, but you know what? The steps in my house. When I'm going, you know, I have a little trouble with my knee. And I literally found my, of course, at first I was like cursing it, not like, you know, GD or anything, but I was just going up the stairs and saying, I hate these steps. I hate these steps. I don't like these neighbors, and I don't like this house. All right, now, where was that getting me at? Nowhere. Nowhere. So then, you know why you're laughing? Because some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. And so now I try to go up the stairs and I start saying, God, I thank you for this house. I thank you for these neighbors. Now that's stretching it. But I say, thank you, God, for this house. Thank you for these neighbors. And then there's times when I start to lapse back into that thing. I do. I start lapsing back into it and I catch it. Because I got to tell you something. God don't like grumbling. He don't like it. He does not like it. And he doesn't like it coming out of your mouth or my mouth. So I just hope that you remember that this week. That I challenge you, because I believe we're going to hear a praise report next week. When you start saying, God, I thank you for this situation. It didn't just happen there. God has got control of your life. He saw it coming. So you might as well go ahead and thank him anyway. Go ahead and thank him for that boss. Go ahead and thank him for that situation. Go ahead and thank him anyhow. And just listen, because I think you're going to start hearing walls coming down. You will. Woo! That was right there was worth you getting out of bed and coming out for. Not because of me, because it's the word. Another way to get your charge back, and this is powerful, is to worship God for who he is. Don't just, you know, thanking him is thanking him for what he does. Worshiping him is for who he is. He is God, Jehovah, Almighty God, Elohim. He is Almighty God. And when you just start thinking about it, he is Almighty God. He's awesome. There are certain words that I try to only reserve for God, and one of them is awesome. You'll never hardly ever hear me say, like, oh, that's an awesome dress, or that's an awesome pair of shoes. You'll never hardly ever, I try to be very careful to use, I want to, I just want, because there's, our words are so limited anyway, and I just wanted to take one word and reserve it for God, and that's the word awesome. So when I talk about him, I say, you are awesome. Woo! And another word I use for him is, God, Jesus, you are my hero. Too many people say, oh, you're my hero. Oh, you're my hero. Oh, you're, no. I love everybody in this church. I love people. But nobody's done anything for me except Jesus. He's the only one. He is my hero. He's the one that saved me and covered me, washed me in his blood. He gave me a new name. It's written down in glory. And I tell you what, ain't nobody's done me good like Jesus. And he is my hero. Another way to charge yourself up, get in the word. Now, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Go find yourself a Bible you can understand. If you can't understand King James, then go find a Bible, the Living Translation, that's easy to understand. Get a Bible that you can understand, the New King James. I read that all the time. That's one of the Bibles we have. Get you a Bible that you can understand and start reading it. It'll change your life. It'll get you charged up. The Bible says, but seek ye first. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you've been worried about, all these frets you've had, all these things will be taken away from you. Added to you. It'll be added to you when you do what? Seek ye first. Oh, right there. Seek means to go after it, to pursue, to desire, to aim at, to search for, to endeavor to get it. And every one of us in here does that. And I've probably mentioned this before, but I'm telling you right now, if I said to the women in this congregation, I know where there's a sale that you can buy one dress and get another one for free, there would probably be a stampede almost out this door. I know where there's a place, Brenda, where you can get shoes. I know where there's a place, guys, where you can get, football stuff or computer equipment. You would go after it. You would say, oh, I heard this thing. I heard that you can go this place and you can get this and this. And so you go after it. You pursue it. You research it. You go after it. This is what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I just want to end up today by saying, if you're feeling drained today and you're spiritually beeping, now I'm not going to hear it. If I hear you beeping, I don't want to know about it, okay? But if you are spiritually beeping today because you're about to lose your charge, I challenge you to get supercharged this morning by getting plugged into the power of the Most High God. I hope this week that every time you go to plug up your phone, I hope this message comes back to you. Am I charged up? Do I need to spend some extra time with God today? Do I need to read a little bit more of his word today? See, now, let me share this. When you read his word, you're not getting brownie points. God and the angels are not up in heaven going, oh, there, they read the word today. Oh, give them a point. It's not like that. He gave the word to us for us to get from here to there. He's given us the word for you to have strength every day, for you to live. And the Bible says that he's come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. God, he didn't put us down here for us just barely get by. Oh, let's just barely, let me just barely get by till I can just make it to heaven. And then when I get to heaven, I'm going to squeak inside the gates. That's not what, no. We're going to sweep inside the gates. We're going to go walking. When they were singing that song this morning, let the veil down, let the praise go up, that song just does something to me. I can't even tell you, because you know why? I think about when Jesus was dying on the cross and he said, it is finished. And then the veil, they said that veil was like 4 inches thick, I think it was, and it ripped from the top. The finger of God or an angel took it from the top to the bottom. Now, you know, before this, if you ever even stepped inside of there, you could die, just like that. You could die. They drug priests out from under there. They tied ropes on them and drug them out because they weren't holy enough to go in there. Can you imagine? And this is what went through my mind when they were singing that this morning. Can you even imagine when that veil rent from top to bottom, the people that were standing there, all of a sudden the Holy of Holies was exposed for the first time, and they're standing there and looking at the Holy of Holies. Oh, when you imagine what in the world were they thinking, because all of a sudden they were looking right in to the Holy of Holies. And I got to tell you this morning, God says, come boldly to the throne of grace and prayer. Come boldly, he says. Woo. Oh, let that veil down and let your praise go up, and you're going to get supercharged. Doesn't take a long time. And I'm going to finish by telling you this. God's word says in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You want to know how to get charged up again? Draw near to God. Whatever way, you may do it in your car. You may be driving in your car and you just start praising God and worshiping God and speaking in tongues. You may have to pull over and get a designated driver. I don't know. But I believe that you can get supercharged going down the road. I believe you can get supercharged when you turn off the TV for a little while and go up in your room. I believe you can get supercharged by reading his word. You can get supercharged, and when you get supercharged, it's going to affect people around you, because you're just going to be lit up. No, I don't got a message. You're going to be lit up. You're going to be lit up. Everybody stand. I hope you got something out of that this morning. It's a short, it's just a simple message, but I tell you, I believe God gave it to me to give to you.